What brought you here?
Well, when I learned...
Well, you have to put down a stamp on this so I know who's talking.
This is going on, Hicks, and you're putting
I'm recording
on,
it,
on
yeah.
recording. Oh, you
yeah.
really got to watch out.
Oh, I know.
What, you're coming out with a book or what?
No, I'm just recording whatever I... I'm just collecting all of these things. I'm trying to put them together so people can hear what people say. Now, I did this with Rabbi Hershkowitz, too, and he told me that after I'm finished, I should go over it with some older, you know, younger light.
You're talking about Remeya?
Yeah. And they, you know, just to clean it up to make sure that nothing.
I'll tell you something that Remeya told me that the Rashiva told him.
Oh, let me put your name on him. Well, this is Rabbi Yaakov Fensterheim of Scranton,
right,
who's telling us his experiences, impressions of
and
the Rashiva.
Did Remeya tell you the story that he had with the Rashiva about eating herring?
Don't recall.
He was very skinny when he started with Shidduchim. So the Rashiva told him that, listen, you know, you could, if it's batala for you to eat, you can eat herring. It swallows down very easy. It doesn't take time.
Uh-huh.
You could ask Remeya about that. That's Remeya.
Maybe he told me. So I'm not particular about exactly which story who told me, and if I have everything, it's just to collect all the impressions. And what I do is I'll ask you about how you came to light, what was your first thing that you saw, and then how you came to learn here, and then the experiences over the years, even the routine things.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be...
Okay.
Okay. When, so you said this, but 13, 14, you first came to light.
The way I first came to Lakewood was that I was, when they started Philadelphia,
yeah,
I was from the first, first time in there.
Now, what year was that?
Say 55, so I would have to go back and figure it out.
Okay, I can figure it from the age, because I know you're more or less the same age.
Right, that was the first year.
Yeah.
Now, there was a few times that the Rosh Hashiva came, he came to Philadelphia.
And what did he do there?
He came because this is from the first yeshiva of his Talmidim.
Uh-huh.
See, originally, the yeshiva was started by Reb Dave Schwartzman.
Uh-huh. Was he there at your time?
Reb Dave? Yes. He was there. I was there 1 year with Man, mm-hmm, together with Reb Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Then he left, and then later, Rebellion came.
Uh-huh.
Now he came a few times.
When did Rav Kanetsky come?
He started the yeshiva.
Oh, he's together with
he came, he started the yeshiva together with Rav Dave Schwartzman.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he came to visit, he gave, he spoke or whatever?
Yeah, he used to give a shiur. I mean, I could tell you things that happened.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
I mean, I remember there was when he came at one time, so they... The local day school kids came.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kids came all with the cameras, and I remember the Rashiva going outside and posing for the cameras.
I mean, he was known to those day school children to be somebody who was very important.
Right.
That impression.
I guess the day school repair must have told him who's coming.
Uh-huh.
And I really don't know exactly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we in high school had a miser with the Rashiva at the time when he came. Because we had a whole big shaila if, you know, we have to study English.
Uh-huh.
Because we, you know, held a big masmidim.
Uh-huh.
So, the question was brought in front of the Rashiva.
Yeah.
And the Rashiva said, you know, if you want to quit, tagalach bracha. But once you're going, if you don't do good, then you're going is batal in itself.
What does he mean by that?
If you're going to class.
Yeah.
And you're not going to study and not going to do good.
You mean the English?
The English.
Uh-huh.
So then it's really batala.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, actually it's better not to go at all, but once you're going, if you're not going to do good.
Uh-huh.
So to go there and do zero is worse.
Uh-huh. Just to hang around.
Right, that's what he said is worse.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
And then he said, you know, through the years that I was there, he came a few times.
Yeah.
Now I started to go to Lakewood. The first Simchas Torah I was there in the yeshiva. Reb Zev Hoberman was my rabbi.
Uh-huh. In Philly.
Yeah, in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
And he took us to Lakewood. I don't recall if it was the first year that I was in Philadelphia or the second year.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Philadelphia. That's when I started to go for Simchas Torah to Lakewood.
Okay, what was that like?
I know it was a very big experience. I mean, I was the youngest boy there.
Yeah.
And when I went there, I stayed in a room together with Sussman. I remember Sussman.
Yeah.
His bed, the room that he was, the bed was empty. I went and I stayed with him.
Well, his Mamonachai Sussman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That started my years of Lakewood, and then I used to come to the summer. That means when this mom was over here in the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there for the, you know, for that month in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That was where, and one Simchas Torah on the way home,
yeah,
not far out of Lakewood, we got a blowout, the car flipped over.
Oh.
And it was a nest that we all came back alive. But the Rosh Hashiva called us in the next day.
Yeah.
My father, my parents were there, and he gave us a big bracha.
Uh-huh. Because on the way to or from?
No, from the night.
Uh-huh.
After Simchas Torah.
Uh-huh. So you had to come back to Lakewood then?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't too far anyway.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as a bracha, I remember my first real experience with the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
As a bracha, he said the shir on Pelegish. He has a shir on Pelegish.
Okay.
And I came...
What Masechet is that?
One minute. You have to hold on a minute.
Yeah.
I have to get the other phone. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
In Kedushin.
Okay, yeah.
No,
okay.
Like it's okay. Mm-hmm. I and Bash.
Who?
Bash.
Bash.
Heshi Bash.
Heshi Bash, okay, yeah.
We both went over after to speak with him in the shir. And I started out with Akash Eprim and Tysis.
Yeah. How old were you then?
I must have been 18, 17.
Uh-huh.
And he jumped out of the chair and he started screaming in emergency, you know, they got to work the way he was used to.
Oh.
And he tells me that that he was saying pshat in the Rambam, and I'm asking him for a Tysus.
Uh-huh.
And by then I was too nervous, and he went into a whole schmooze to be miyashiv how it could work. I didn't like Tysus, which of course I by then I was like extremely
overwhelmed
by then, and then Bas started to ask, and he got so excited he grabbed a hold of me, started shaking him up. Anyway, that was the two Bachram. That was when we were Bachram.
Uh-huh.
I had one of the most interesting Meisim that I personally had with Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
It was a Merdek Meisim. I mean, I still can't get over this Meisim.
Uh-huh.
This is what I was learning in the yeshiva. They used to say that the Rosh Hashiva, every time when he opened up the Gemara, he opened it to the exact
page.
That's what they say, the exact page.
Yeah.
So I asked him a shayla. I had a shayla achrayis teisayf. I asked him a whole shayla. So he told me, I had a minat the chesbin. You have to excuse me again. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay,
so
we're back.
Make sure I'm doing this right.
Yeah, so he tells me, he said, yeah, but it says, it's a Mufurusha Gemara, not like your husband.
Uh-huh.
So he told me to go bring the Gemara.
Yeah.
So I was bringing him the Gemara, and I'm thinking, I take a look at him, I'm going to watch to see if he's going to open it on the exact page.
Yeah.
Yeah. He flips over the Gemara. He lies down, he puts his two hands on top of it. He takes a look at me and he starts laughing.
Yeah.
And then he starts reading the Gemara. I mamish felt that he was reading my mind.
That's right.
That's mamish the way I felt.
He knew exactly what you had in mind.
That's mamish the way I felt.
I heard this before from other incidents, not this incident. They said things similar to that, and it fits.
Mamish, I'm telling you, that's the way I felt.
Yeah.
felt. You have no idea. Like it was like his mama's. He, what do you call it? I'll tell you over a few stories that were of interest. You know, when we used to leave Matzah Yantif, he would remind me, Matzah, you know, Yom Kippur, by night, say goodbye to him. He would tell us, don't forget to come to Simchas Torah. Say regards to your spacha. And I could tell you that the first man that I was there, and when I came, that was really the second man, but I mean the first Rosh Hashanah. In the morning when we say the Slichas Erev Rosh Hashanah, so the Seshi Basu I came with wasn't there because he wasn't feeling good and he went home. So he called us over to find out where he was. He told him, you know, he went home, he's sick. So he said that he has to go to the doctor, and only if the doctor says that he's too sick to come back for Rosh Hashanah, he's allowed to stay, or else he has to come back to his yeshiva. I mean, he's the month for davening. I mean, like, it was,
it was on top of everybody.
Right. I had also a very interesting story. It wasn't directly with the Rosh Yeshiva, but it was more or less around the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Shneur came over to me, and he said to me in these words, the tatat gezogt, as mezol lernen shvach ben hazmanim.
Shvach
ben hazmanim.
Where's that Gemara?
Now, when he said to me, the tatat gezogt, mezol lernen shvach ben hazmanim, so I thought, first of all, I didn't realize that he would refer to Rosh Yeshiva as the tatat. I thought he would say to Rosh Hashiva. And what do you mean, like, Shvachs? I thought he meant that, you know, says, I'm for it. You know, the doctor says that you should take it easy, Beirasvani. But the Maisu, what he really meant was, because the Shiurim in Elul was on the Sugyan Shvachim B'Metziah, and he was really telling me that the Rashiva wanted that Beirasvani, I should learn over the Sugyan Shvachim, because the next man is good, because when we come back, he's going to be saying the Shiurim on Shvachim.
Did he say that specifically to you or to everybody?
He came over to me, Rav Shneur. You see, he had a different shaykhus with me and the others my age. Because, you know, I can't, the second, right after Rashi was nifted, we were the new Bacham in Yeshiva. So he had a very close shaykhus with us. I also had a maisa with the Rashiva, with Moshe Weissman.
Moshe Weissman.
You know who Moshe Weissman
No, but his name is Aaron.
You know who he, you know, you know all those, the children's books on the Medrash?
I know them, but I never knew who wrote it.
Well, this Moshe Weissman, his name is in it, really his wife writes it, but he puts his name in it. Now, this myself, I was murdering the smile from this Moshe. He would must probably be able to tell it to you more in detail.
Where is he now?
I think he's in Beis Yosef.
With Brooklyn?
Brooklyn. He's in Brooklyn, I think so.
Well, that's Navardak, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know exactly.
Well, if he's not, I can just find out.
Yeah, now, the Rashiva lived with a Shaila on the Goyen. He ended up the Shia with a Shaila on the Goyen. And then we went, you know, that was his set up afternoon.
Right.
And then he went to you know, by Shalosh Shudis, Moshe Weissman went over to him and wanted to say a Teretz.
Yeah.
So she said them Kanshums for a Klonet.
Before or after he said it?
No, he said the Shnickel Teira.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's Kanshums for a Klonet.
Okay.
Yeah. Then he left Yeshiva. He used to leave Yeshiva for a week. Friday afternoon, I was standing in the hall with Moshe Weissman.
Yeah.
And the car that brought the Rosh Hashiva drove up.
Yeah.
He opened up the door and he saw the two of us standing there. He walked right over to us from the car, continued the conversation, Esther McKenzie, and from the Gainazai.
I mean, he held exactly on the place.
On the place where he was by the Leah Shalash Judas, and the second he walked in, now, I don't forget, we were new Bachram in the Yeshiva. And he walked right in, right over, and he started to, he went right over to us. He said, Ezra McKenna Fanfer in the Shaila.
Yeah. I heard the stories similar already, like that.
I mean, so these are,
Very characteristic.
Yeah, he's the type. I mean, I asked him once when I came for, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I asked him, what can I tell over the machram in the yeshiva about what the Rosh Hashiva's day is on college?
Uh-huh.
I asked him personally.
Uh-huh.
So the Maisa at that time, there was on Simchas Torah, and there was a balabas over there that was Grace Gavir that bought that Teresa.
Uh-huh.
So first thing he tells me, look, that man says that Grace Gavir, I can't be that word English, you know.
Yeah.
Then he told me, I'm a Gagman Kala, says I mean, we're far from the empire. He says, it's not the Pshat. It's not the Pshat, like, you know, you think it's like you go up, it's not only you lose 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Like the time you go and you fall by the down and down and down.
Uh-huh.
I remember the Ganze conversation when we were dying, that's going over here, so we'll sort of go ahead and hear directly from them. Plus, that's a sucked.
It sounds like the salts of the empire.
Yeah, because it was the salts of the empire.
Uh-huh.
And they took us up.
Very nice. Okay.
See, they said anything. I mean, you know, the library, the original library that the yeshiva had, one of the original libraries came, there was somebody out west or somebody who had a lot of sforum.
Me from San Francisco.
I don't remember exactly.
I used to be stamped in there.
And it was from far away.
Yeah.
The person, then his children, didn't need any of these sforum.
Right.
I don't remember, I would have to ask my mother, but for some reason, my parents were the go-between over here.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. So they had to come out to Lakewood with the people that were donating it.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
I think they're Rabbi Hirsch, was that his name?
Yes, Sam Hirsch, right.
Yeah.
That was the name, Chanami.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you know that?
I remember the oldest farm lying around with the stamp in it.
Yeah, this is from the original one.
Yeah.
So I my mother was spoiled. The Rosh Hashiva ran and got a chair for my mother and then brought her a tea.
Uh-huh.
Remember, she was very spoiled from the way he was machabed, you know, my mother and my father when they came.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, just keep on going. You got good stuff.
So I go, I mean, I really would have to, you know,
sure thing. Well,
I mean, I remember him like coming out sometimes at night to tell us.
From where?
You know, sometimes he would come out of his room, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he slept out of the dorm.
Yeah, I hear a lot of times people, this is very characteristic in general about him. He would, like, when it came to his Torah or something like that, or somebody else, he could get very excited and.
Right.
But at the same time, he could go down to somebody else and treat him like a father or
well,
a mother.
He said you could learn from me everything except my Midas Nagedish here.
He said that?
Yeah. Because he claimed that when he first started, he became Rosh Hashiva Kletzk, that it was Bochum that were older than him.
Uh-huh.
And they were out to Mamas get him.
Uh-huh.
So he had to fight for every word in the Shia.
So he went through like a battle. This is, by the way, nobody ever told me this.
So
this is the first time I heard it.
So he went through a battle. He had a battle when it came to the Shia.
Uh-huh.
I heard about the Shia, it was on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a lot.
Well, I'll tell you when it was a little bit easier.
Yeah.
He used to say Chazara on Friday.
Yeah.
So when you were by the Chazara, he was way more colossal. There were very few guys there.
Chazara was from last week?
Yeah. He used to say two shiurim a week.
Uh-huh.
And on Friday, he used to Chazara over the two shiurim.
Uh-huh.
And there's very few that came to the Chazara.
Uh-huh.
And by the Chazara, he was very colossal. Easy. Uh-huh. Like, it was a lot. It was a little bit easier to talk with him.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
After the Shia guys used to... He used to walk out of the basement and walk in. He had like a room in the back outside the basement. And then the guys used to go over there and he used to speak with him and learning.
That was after which year?
Every time he gave a shiur, it was Bechlal.
Uh-huh.
And on Shabbos, when he sat on the tish on Shabbos, so he used to have then a lot of, you know, the Bachram that sat on his tish.
Yeah.
So they used to speak, we were learning most of the time, there was the other one that was learning Kotcha, Mother Masechtas.
Yeah.
And they used to speak with him over all the Masechtas.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I used to hang around to try and listen to
yeah.
on. But I'll tell you another Zach that I heard by a Shmuz. This is an important Nakuda.
Yeah.
You know, they used to have, I forgot his name, not small, there was a rub that used to come in Albus Labotkinik. He used to come for El.
I don't know who it was.
He used to learn with Asmud in Naira. He was older than the Rosh Hashiva.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was from Chicago.
Small, no?
It wasn't small. There was two of them. There was small and there was somebody else.
Okay.
After thinking that. And he always used to be machabed him for sessions.
Uh-huh.
So he got up once Rashi was sitting there.
Yeah.
And he was upset the way all the swarm were always lying around.
Right.
He said, even though the Rosh Hashiva said that you're allowed to put other swarm on top of the chumash.
Yeah.
But Lamaisa, okay. So to say that, but Lamaisa, they're all thrown around.
Yeah.
I remember he said, Klor, that you're allowed to put, you know, other swarm on top of a chumash.
I heard this from Rabbi Yankov also, this Hanaga.
You know the biggest Rosh that really made on me,
yeah,
is that one of the last Shmuzim that he said, it was during the Aseres Mitzvah,
yeah,
and he said these words, and it says young, it says green Satan Shuvah,
uh-huh,
and he started to cry away.
Uh-huh.
I remember, I couldn't be massive just from saying those words, that he got so carried away.
Uh-huh.
It made a very big racial.
Uh-huh.
You see, the whole island made a big tumult about this. I don't know if it's anything to say, but Emmis, the last Tashlich,
yeah,
that he was alive,
yeah,
he did not go to Tashlich.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was tiny, was so busy not going to Tashlich. And yesterday, with bang, egg, you know, they made a whole big sach over it.
Uh-huh.
And they said, I don't know if it was anything to me.
Uh-huh. And, tell me, when he went to Tashlich, did he carry a Mazda with him?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. All I know is that, you know, there was hoping the union. If he liked Smiris, he didn't like Smiris.
Uh-huh.
But when we were there, we used to sing Smiris and Shalsus. We used to sing when he was there. And
yeah.
The feeling was he had a bigger schmack in it.
Yeah, I heard that from other people. There was a certain singer, I don't want to mention his name, they say he liked his singing too.
Yeah, he liked Kalbach.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
In Europe also, they told me when they had the Chanukah Sabayis and Kletz, somebody was with a violin, they was playing, and he really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he used to enjoy it, even though they didn't think, he used to enjoy it.
Yeah.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah, like music. Okay. What else can you tell me? Anything else you can remember?
I can remember that's worthwhile remembering. You have to ask those that were long time coming to my
room. Everybody tells me the same thing. Ask this one, ask that one.
I'm a short time Talmud.
Doesn't matter. Somebody who's short time, sometimes people who are there a short time, even if a small amount of time, they concentrate on what they saw, and they can tell you the whole mahus, what they saw, and it's valid, just like somebody who was there 20 years. And that's what I noticed. So I makshiv everybody, because sometimes people say they have nothing, and they tell me one word, and I say that word is worth the whole thing.
But I'm with Dershowitz. He started to come out with a book.
He's working on it. Look, it's like me. I'm also working on it.
Yeah.
And in fact, I told him I'm going to give him my stuff,
yeah,
but I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
I'm too busy collecting. This Weissman I should get a hold of.
Yeah, I mean, Weissman. I'm telling you, those who came together with those partners came when I was there.
Oh, yeah? Which partners?
You know, what's his name?
Baynish?
Baynish.
Wait a minute. I thought he wasn't here by the Rosh Yeshiva.
I think he was.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Antoine Zichar Benish was there. I think he came with us. Yeah, I think he was there. He's very young.
Uh-huh.
He's young, but I think Benish was there.
Uh-huh.
None of the Rosh Yeshivas that are there today were there.
Okay, I hear. I know that. I don't know. They're too young.
The Rosh Yeshivas
were there. Anybody else?
Leila Stefanski slept with him in the room.
Yeah, I spoke to him already.
He gave me
an interview a long time already.
Yeah. Did he get the pair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was very good.
Yeah, even Roddy
his... He had a lot of notes.
Yeah.
He was very good, very good. He kept it for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good.
I forget, you called over here with Yakov Schneidman.
I got him already.
You got him?
Except when I got him, he gave me one of the best interviews I ever got from anybody. He's very articulate.
Yeah.
And but at the end, my battery ran out, so I missed half of the stories went down the drain.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I have a lot of accidents.
Yeah.
Because I get very excited when I talk to the people, I don't realize if I'm doing everything right. I just had an interview with somebody, I don't want to mention his name, and died. There was nothing on there because I had the wrong button on. And I spoke to him again. He didn't want to talk to me anymore. He said, I don't have no time for you. Goodbye. So it's like very disappointing. But look, like somebody said, look, you're doing something so good, Miloshnisht, you know. you can't get it done. It's not so easy.
You spoke with Roman?
Yeah. Yeah. He gave a very good interview. He gave me a very good interview.
I just think of the people that, you know, a good talker.
He gave me a good interview, yeah.
Who's the good talkers?
Yeah, he has some nice stories.
I'm trying to think. He was there a long time. He spoke with Noble. Is he Noble?
I never got to him. For some reason, I thought he wasn't there.
Is he Noble? Listen, I'll tell you one of the other kids.
Yeah, story.
At least you're not going to put down this other stuff.
Yeah.
We went to the Bechina.
Okay, from Philly.
Yeah, went to the Rosh Yeshiva to get a break, which he went to his apartment.
Yeah, in Borough Park.
In Borough Park. So...
But where was his apartment?
The car, you know where his apartment is?
Yeah.
It was in Borough Park. If you know, the cops, Elias Cop,
yeah,
lives in that apartment.
And what building is that? What street is that on?
And you have to ask one of the cops.
Uh-huh, okay.
If you see what I'm like with, you know, feel the sense I'm like with, you ask them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Everybody tells me, and I've said, did I ever record where the apartment was? I don't remember.
Yeah, he is. They live in the apartment.
Okay.
Now, we came into the apartment, so we stayed in a room, and then the Rosh Yeshiva told, and that was a long apartment, it was a double apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very long apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the apartment, if you know, the apartment was mom's beer, you had no pussy.
What? Beer?
Beer.
No furniture.
So, yeah, I mean, it was old. I mean, he had, you know, benches. I mean, it was like...
Yeah.
So the Rashiva calls us to come.
Yeah.
And he starts walking down through the whole apartment. Now, we didn't know the apartment was the first time, so we're following him.
Yeah.
And we all follow him into the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
Then he turns around, looks at us, what are you doing here? And the Rebbe is screaming from, no, you're going to the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
As Asahola. But did Roman tell you what happened by the Bechina?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I was with Roman by the Bechina.
Yeah.
So the Maisa, I came very well prepared. What was the trial? I came very well prepared. I knew about Rashi that he asked him a shayla that he has a shear on.
Yeah.
He forgets about everything he says over the shear.
Uh-huh.
So I came with a shayla and the kid, my ears, my name is Bechedes. And Mama carried away, went into the shir. And like, I got confounded because he gave such a good report about me.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't do anything. I just asked that shayla.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Roman asked the mashayla and Anach was started. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, it was he wanted to see Anach was started inside. She told him to go into the next room and bring the Anach was started.
Yeah.
So he comes back, he says, I'm so big, I can't find it. So Rosh Yeshiva told me, you got the light but so see I'm timing. Go back and look more.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, went back and he came back with the Anach was started.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, and he said, he didn't even have a sefer.
He's in what?
He said it even on a safer. You got to go back with Sossi.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll time it. Go back. Look some more.
Yeah? Okay. Listen.
That was,
he didn't tell me that story.
What?
I didn't hear that story.
Maybe he forgot it. But that happened when we were by the Mechina.
Yeah.
I saw them by the Mechina.
So then?
When we were by the Mechina,
yeah.
He was writing, talking on the phone, and talking with us at the same time.
Uh-huh. But to say things like that about the Chaim Moshe.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't to that extent as writing two different tunes at the same time, but he was mamish involved in a few things.
Uh-huh.
That was, you know, such a...
Mind.
But did Heinemann let you give him?
Yes, he did a very nice job.
Yeah, he has a lot. I mean, he could tell you about what went on with him when he was in the hospital. I mean, you know, I heard his speech he gave by the first Sheva Brachas.
Uh-huh.
After she was Nifta.
Uh-huh.
Gave a ganze speech about he was watching him in the hospital and he saw that the nose protrudes as if the nose he gave a ganze smooth.
He didn't tell me those kind of things.
He was a receiver, like he wanted to get him in a good mood. How come when he walked from one building to another building he always used to wear and carry his umbrella?
Because he
was afraid of dogs.
Uh-huh.
Very much afraid of dogs.
Uh-huh.
And he used to always carry an umbrella with him because he was afraid of a dog would come.
Uh-huh.
That's why I was in like everybody knew how frightened Rashi was of dogs.
Yeah.
And they have in one of these books, they have a Maisa that Rashi was walking with somebody and two big dogs start chasing after him and he told his Bachrum, they'll walk with you, just hold on to my kapota and you'll see nothing will happen and we'll walk over straight through.
Uh-huh.
It's mamish, a sheker of Maisa, I'm telling you.
It's not what?
It's a sheker.
Because he was afraid of dogs,
it's not shaykh.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you another Maisa that I recently saw that it's also all mixed up.
Uh-huh.
I slept in the base medrash building.
Uh-huh.
You know,
from 7th Street.
From 7th Street, yeah. I was a roommate together with Zeraven.
Uh-huh.
Class, the one who is the father of the one who wrote the Jewish press.
The father of the...
Right. Got out the Yid.
Yeah.
Used to come for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, used to come to Yeshiva to Daven.
Uh-huh.
Now, this happened on Yom Kippur early in the morning, right before Davening. All of a sudden, we hear Gavaldika screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So he jumped up. This class, he was a very old man.
Yeah.
And he was walking up to the building.
Yeah.
And he tripped and he fell. His head, mamish, right on the floor.
Yeah.
And he banged up his whole face.
Uh-huh.
So we took him and we put him upstairs in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
I think it was Maxie Rosenfeld's room. I think we put him there.
What's that name? I put down.
What?
Maxie who?
Rosenfeld.
Where's he?
But very possibly he lives in Baltimore. He used to live in Baltimore. Yeah. He's married to Scheinberg.
Okay.
And he stayed there, the whole day. When he came to Nila, the Roshiva turned around to the one that was sitting next to him. He said to him, please go upstairs, stay with him. It's starting to get dark now, and after Yid, he's going to feel bad. He needs company now. You should go and stay by him.
Uh-huh.
Now, I recently saw a Maisa about somebody else. It's the person who wrote it. There's a guy writes a book about Touched by a Story.
I've seen that book. I never read it, though.
Now, in the second edition of Touched by a Story, he has a similar Maisa that happened to somebody else, and she returned around. By kneeling, he told the person to go up. I've never told him the story, messed it up.
Mm.
This is the Maisa. I was there, mamish, when the Maisa happened.
Okay.
And she turned around and told him, Stassi, you should, the Chiddush was that everyone was spoiling. I was spoiling. It was more important that you should go and stay with this Yid, this Alta Yid.
To be by Nila.
Yeah, and then to daven Nila with the base matches.
Okay. So.
I tell you a vart.
Yeah.
A vart that Eliyahu Roman said.
Yeah.
The Sami Dendi, I don't know if he remembers what he said.
Don't remember if he said or not.
This is a word that he said, which was Mamish Emes. After, you know, the week that Rashi was lifted, I had a spaydim yomim for life,
right,
every single day for here for the Seder, second Seder, it was a spaydim, a spaydim, a spaydim. So I remember Eliyahu telling me, he said, I got more out of the Rosh Hashiva watching him walk into the base medrash, down the aisle to his seat, then all the spaydim put together.
All right, so could you describe that?
It was meritic. You don't understand, Rosh Hashiva used to walk in, it was like almost a war. The whole aura of everything you felt.
Actually, mm-hmm.
It was a meritic of pachat for the Rosh Hashiva, and it wasn't like, you know, it's like, you know, with everything, you always had pachat.
Yeah.
You know, because mamish, you had pachat. I mean, I don't know about those, you know, like Hirschman was so close with him.
Yeah.
You heard from Hirschman's story.
I'm working on him. He's hard to get.
Hirschman used to eat with him breakfast every morning. You see, mamish, it was shamish.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't know, like, those who were so close, like Kirsten, you know, facing the tower anymore.
They don't talk much.
Yeah, but they're the ones that, like, Kirsten should really know. I mean, we had stories, you know, I could tell you stories that were said over. I mean, I didn't witness them.
Yeah.
You know, the story, he had a lot of stories of cars. You know, he was just telling you to pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah, yeah. I heard something about a hitchhiker, but let me hear your version.
I wasn't by any of them. I could just tell you that that he said they went to pick up somebody. I think it was one of the girls or something. And you know, race. And like when she saw her yeshiva, got such a pachat. You know, the guy says, "Oh, there was a yeshiva light. Like, you don't have to be afraid of us."
Uh-huh.
I mean, he had a lot of. I remember one of my friends. You know, used to drive him. They had in the beginning before. There was a time that it was a hearse that...
What was his name?
It was... I don't remember his first name. You know, there was a hearse that used to run Pelham?
Don't recall.
Yeah, there was one of the hearse. He was his brother. They hired him at the end that he used to drive the Rashi around. Mm-hmm. But before that, every single day, there was another bucket that drove him around.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to come back with Merdeka's story.
Okay.
They used to come back with stories. Like one guy in the tunnel, you know, passed, went from one lane to another lane. He starts with a head guddle, $50.
Uh-huh.
You know, if let's say they were going on the most busiest block,
yeah,
and then the Rashi would see the place that he has to go,
yeah,
say, "Oh, door!" And the guy would stop the car in the middle of the traffic, he would open up the door to walk out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I used to get the. I mean, I think. Yeah, you have to speak with Landis. You speak with Yankel.
Yeah, I've been trying to speak to him for a couple months.
Yankel, I think this happened with Yankel Landis. I don't remember who, but he walked into the apartment, and the Rashiva had one of his
the apartment in Lakewood or the bar park?
Bar Park.
Yeah.
He had one of his grandsons on a little bike.
Yeah.
And he was pulling him through the apartment.
Uh-huh.
And when he walked in and he saw him there, so he turned around and he said, "Look, I'm in front of Zayda."
Uh-huh. That's interesting. That's an interesting story.
You know, you have to check it out. I think it was with Landisman. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can tell you one thing, that Landisman lived in the Keysport.
Right.
And the Rashivi used to say a shear. On Simchas Torah, he always used to say a shir.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me and a chaver of mine, Ben Azmanin, that he gave us the marmakimus of the shir. We should call up Yankel Landisman, and we should let Yankel Landisman know about the marmakimus, because he expects him to come back for Simchas Torah, so he should be prepared for the shir.
That's interesting.
He was very, you know, personable with his talmidim.
Concerned.
I mean, you have to understand, the yeshiva then was with the kaila was less than 100.
Uh-huh. I see, he paid attention.
Yeah, he paid attention to the bachram. He knew the bachram. He knew I was going to go on. Did he get to Moshe Mendelowitz?
Not yet. Somebody just gave me his name.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
He lives in Muncie.
He's from that family, from the Mendelowitzes?
Yeah. He's married to a Septimus.
Uh-huh.
He probably has a son or so that's still in Lakewood.
It's possible. I don't know everybody in Lakewood.
Yeah. No, you mistabu his brother-in-law, you know.
Oh.
There's a septimist that teaches halacha in some of the schools.
Yeah. I know him well.
Okay, his brother-in-law is Moshe Mendelowitz. He's married to his
sister. I'll have to talk to him. Septimus, yeah, I know.
Septimus.
Septimus was my student, Tervidas. I taught Tervidas, he was my student.
Uh-huh, okay.
As a freshman.
Yeah, his brother-in-law,
uh-huh.
Moshe Mendelowitz, yeah. He's from the originals, like, you know, he should...
I'll forget to him. It's a big job getting to these people. It's not easy.
Yeah.
I make hundreds of phone calls.
But Moshe Mendelowitz should be very nice to you.
Yeah, okay. Well, you were also very nice.
No, but I don't know as much as you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm not looking for your knowledge. I'm looking for the impression that was made on you, because it's all these little so-called little impressions add up to a big sum.
You can't be massive about impression. You American kids, mamas, I give it such a ruach. I remember the first time I came home as a bacher from, I was in the 9th or 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the reshiva, I came home, I didn't even know what it meant. I remember I was telling my parents that I'm going to sit and learn in the koyel.
What?
I remember telling them that I'm going to sit and learn in the koyel.
Oh, that's like frightening, right?
Yeah, this is when I was 14 years old. I really didn't even know what it was myself.
Uh-huh.
But I knew one zach, like, you have to sit and learn a koyel.
Uh-huh.
And this is mamas, like, I mean,
like a malach.
He gave a very, very, very big bracha. The biggest thing that there ever was, the biggest impression, was Simchas Torah.
What? Simchas Torah, yeah.
Reasoning. We used to go from the dining room building over to the base medrash.
Yeah, I know, they have the parade every year now because of that.
And we used to dance, it was half of a celadon. We used to dance with a candelabra.
Uh-huh.
Dance for a shiva over. I remember one time it was pouring, and we were dancing with blankets, you know, blankets to stop from the rain, and we were dancing over.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the shems to zach.
Uh-huh.
I remember the shiva used to go near the bima. He always used to jump up and down.
Where?
But he used to go by the simple story, he didn't dance by that coffin.
Right.
By the beginning, by the Moshemis, he used to go over. Always by the bima.
Yeah.
And he used to hold his hands out and he used to push himself up and down. He used to jump up and down.
Uh-huh. So that's why everybody jumps up and down,
right?
Here.
They say the rain is, they say, that that's the way they dance by Matan Torah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I always thought that was because, that said about Kairach. That when the Arab took, I think, when the Tanoim took him, he said, there's Kairach downstairs. So what did he say? He says, Moshe Emes or Tarasa Emes. So I thought maybe it was hot there in Gehenna, he was jumping up and down.
I mean, that's how you sucked me into it, man. That was the way they originally danced. Grayson for Canvas is not. Stam Raid Kazak.
They still do it to this day.
Right, they do it all over. They do it here also.
But did they learn from him or other places did it too?
I only know it from there, but I guess other places did it. Grayson. Maybe it was one time that Reb Dayv was all drunk over there and he starts going, who been there? So the Rashi was said in a glazal bronfen.
Yeah.
I mean, like it was
Yeah, he seems as Reb Dayv is a very interesting person.
Reb Dayv?
Yeah.
I knew Reb Dayv very good. My Rashiva was.
Yeah. He made a very... I'm trying to get him too, but that's difficult.
No, you should know something.
Yeah.
He might talk.
Uh-huh. I've been working on him for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I even spoke to Rabbi Yeruchim about it. He said I should do it.
He would take a talk because I one time I met him with my son, and he started speaking with my son and learning, and he started speaking about the Rosh Hashivah Shurim, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember in Kibbutz Shochet, he says, you know, Rosh Hashivah has a good shiur on Kibbutz Shochet. Like, you know, he said...
You know, they say he was from the top Talmidim.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not that he's not. He's wait a second. You have the story wrong.
No.
Reb Aaron went to Eretz Yisrael to bring him to America to do the shidduch.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't a Talmud before that. that.
I know that. I meant after. I mean, he was considered to be from this house.
From the Beth, yes. Yeah. I mean, when he was in Philadelphia, he used to sleep 4 hours a night. I mean, I'm staying in the basement. I'm not sure. I remember what it was.
Yeah. But I've been trying to call him, but I've not succeeded yet.
He once in a while comes to America?
Yeah, but he's so busy. It's like a moving target. I never get a hold of him. I said, is he here? Is he there? Is where he's here? Is he went? He went? He's gone.
I think he would talk.
Okay. I'll have to work on it a little bit more because I get a little discouraged because I call and then I don't get nothing.
He used to have mamas because the Muhammad's with him. Mm-hmm. When he had this rest, the Kufas, he used to have such Muhammad's with him. The Rashid, and then the Rashid would walk in and sit down and stop running like he would not forget.
They told me that he loved the Rosh Hashiva.
It's very possible he did.
There's very strong love between them.
It's very possible.
Yeah, that's what they told me. But it's hard to get people to talk sometimes. I've been working on Chaim Epstein for years. Doesn't want to talk.
Yeah, Chaim Epstein doesn't want to talk?
Nope. No, and the Rabbi Hoberman don't want to talk. I hear my ass directly.
It's very possible, if you were afraid, put out, that things will come out in books, because they figure it's maybe they don't remember exactly, and it's going to be a stickle distorted,
Yeah, but I think that's not that important, because I know stories that somebody told me, and I went to Phil Pear, and he said the story can't be true, it's a false, like you told me about the dog, right?
Yeah.
People do forget things, and they could, but still, no, there's a certain a core of truth in everybody that they're talking about, and that core is more important than the detail of this happened or that.
Yeah, that's when somebody makes slight shinuyim.
Yeah, but it's impossible not to.
Listen, one of the things was Rosh Hashiva had stories that he used to say over. He used to say in the sukkah.
Yeah.
And everybody used to say that he's not mamish mishana or mashu. Every time they heard it.
Oh, but that's the Rosh Hashiva.
Right. So at this way, I don't name again on Maisa.
Yeah.
Of Yaakov Teitelbaum.
Yeah.
He used to say over Maisa also.
Uh huh.
But he said it, Mom is about, Maisa Nemzah from Godel Shibushi Yosh Milimuda.
Yeah.
So if you're telling over Maisa for Shibusha, it's Teira. Kedem Mashana Zain Teira.
Yeah, but there's a certain Mahalach that comes through all the Maisas.
You're right.
That's really what's at the core
right,
of it.
But then somebody wants to strengthen that Mahalach, so he beautifies the Maisa in a way that he could bring out starker that Mahalach that he's hearing.
Right here.
So that's Mamis, it's like a trace of Zach. Because he's stressing the different point that he takes out in a Maisa. Fagelstad had a lot of money. Fagelstad
didn't want to speak.
Yeah, he was the right-hand man.
He was very, very, very... He said Fagelstad and Epstein and Rebellion said, we decided not to talk.
Yeah, these are...
Decided not to talk.
Yeah, these are the
old ones. But I can't be discouraged by that. I have to keep on moving.
These are the ones that really...
But it's everybody. Let me put it like this.
Did Shmuel Kamenetsky to say anything?
I spoke to him many, many times. He doesn't want to talk.
So I'm telling you, these aces, the real Talmud don't want to talk.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's the bottom line. But I got other people like this from Philadelphia. He spoke. It wasn't like Miss Boyle.
What about, did you get Stefanski?
Which one?
From Philly.
Yeah, I just spoke to him. He gave me an excellent. Except the tape went bad. And I spoke to him just 5 minutes. I called you. He's going to talk to me again. But he had a very good... he gave me across the impression, Also like Yosef Kaufman, is that his name?
Yeah, Yosef.
Yeah, he gave a very strong impression.
He was
not reluctant, but...
Yosef
was like Kamala Chalakim.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, thank you very much. And
have a lot of atzlach.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
They should come out and be mefarshim to the belt.
But I have to be careful. Like you said, I have to be careful, edit it, make it right, and...
You know what Bunin said?
What?
Bunin said by the dinner, the first dinner after the Ptira.
Yeah.
He picked up the picture of the Chavos Chaim.
Yeah.
Said, you ain't a quicker gonna ask you, who's this man? He said, the Chavos Chaim, did you know him? I heard about him.
Yeah.
Then he picked up a picture of the Rosh Yeshiva. And he says, they're gonna ask you, who's this person?
Yeah.
And you're gonna say, you knew him. Uh-huh. The Maisa today, the Talmidim, they look at Rav Aaron like from generations ago. They have no musik anything about him.
Hey, that's what happens.
No musik.
That's the people forget. Let me just shut it off.
Listen over to the schmoozing. Did you listen over to the tapes?
Some of them. I really don't have time to listen to everything.
Listen to his tapes. Dershowitz has all the tapes.
Okay, one of these days I have to get to it. Also, I went with, what's his name? He also has a lot of tapes. He gave me an interview. He's a very lively guy. He moved out to Israel recently. Rosenhan.
Well, Rosenhan's been in for a while in Eretz Yisrael.
He comes back and forth a lot. Lately, he went away.
Yeah.
But he gave me a nice, very nice interview. Very nice.
Yeah, Rosenhan. Yeah.
He also made tapes.
What about, did you go to Cal Kushner?
Kushner?
Kushner, he's about Kyron, the likely
name. I have him. He's on my list. I haven't gotten to him yet.
Yeah.
I have to get to him.
If you get to him, he also knows a lot.
Yeah, I have to get to him. Yeah, he's on my list.
He knows a lot.
Okay. All right. Look, I have already now between 50 and 60 conversations.
You must know about.
I know a little bit here and there. It's not the... It's... See, let me see how I got to this whole job. I used to go to all these schmooze in here, because I live next door. No big deal. I can go walking in. So I used to go to, I remember where I was, by one hesped, not hesped, where they make for the yard site.
Yeah.
Dustin was speaking. And he's talking to everybody about the Rosh Hashiva and what he did and how he changed everything, what it was before and after. So I was looking at the boys there and I said to myself, they don't know what he's talking about. They wouldn't believe it.
Right.
And I said to myself, I went through it. I was there. I mean, I lived through that era, and I know what he means by what was and what is now. That's like two different worlds.
Listen, you had a nest that you ended up in Lakewood.
That's right.
Your whole life changed because you moved to
Right. But it's something that I didn't... But I appreciate what the world was before compared to it is now. Mm-hmm. I said, this is impossible. Right. So how did somebody, I said, this all came because of one person. Nobody else was able to do that. He changed the world.
Because he infused the Talmidim to such an extent that it did it.
No, but it's not anybody could do, it was who he was.
Right.
To me was Mamish, a Malach that came from heaven, that was sent from Shemaim to America.
100%.
And to do the impossible.
Listen, you know, I think, I tell somebody that they're not even massacred, what's up, shot, that nobody sat and learned. There was no kibbutz, there was no yeshiva, there was no nothing. Today, every person is sitting and learned every yeshiva.
Right, it's all one man.
Yeah, it all started. That's right.
And he did with such Messias Nefesh, everybody was against him.
Oh, you don't know how they were against him. I'm not sure the meetings, all the stories. One time, one rabbi got up and started saying, what's his salary? They must have, Chashivas could be a salary. What's his salary?
Yeah.
Sportsmanship, they used to scream at him. They gave it to him. Wow, what? Why? He fought all these rabbonim in America.
I remember that one son said, we don't want cutlerism here.
Right, that was cutlerism. What? This is it. Today.
Now all those people there, they ain't looking here.
100%. Listen, I know it's mama's a joke. It's so true. It's so true. All those that fought like anything, I ain't looking.
Yeah, that's it.
I was in Lakewood about a year ago, and I was by a bar mitzvah, and I hear two balabatim speaking, and they're saying to each other, you know, look how beautiful all these houses. Everything everybody has.
Yeah.
And one says to the other, how are their children going to be able to do it?
You know? Yeah, right.
Their children are not going to be able to do it. I turned around and I said to him, listen, when I learned in Lakewood, we had 100 in the yeshiva, and everybody's right. There's never going to be a Lakewood fighter because you people are not going to make a pronouncement.
Right.
And look what Lakewood is today. I said, it's these, their children going to have 10 times more.
Of course.
I'll
tell you a story about my own family. My son went to Lakewood. And after a while, he had to go, so I've got to make a living. So what is he going to do? So he says, maybe I'll try accounting. No. Maybe I'll try computers. He ended up in real estate, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because that's where the money is. It has nothing to do with going to school.
100%.
And take a look in Lakewood, who's the biggest
career?
They're not professors.
100%. 100%. If you go into business, there's no gavul. If you go into college, then you're a salaried man.
Right. Like I'm saying, like he decided, he said, these people are not making it with the degrees. He said, it doesn't pay to do it. It doesn't pay. But my time, it wasn't that way.
That's right.
It was like, if you didn't go to college, you're lost.
Right. If you didn't have the college degree, you were finished.
Yeah. So, but the Rosh Yeshiva changed all that.
Listen, you should have a lot of tzlocha with your arbitz.
Okay, thank you very much.
You should eventually come out with something nice that the younger Dor will be able to know who the Rosh Yeshiva was.
The older Dor too.
Yeah.
Everybody has to know it. Thank you very much. Right. Kol tov.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.